Welcome to the Claremont County Public Library's Book Lovers Podcast. I'm your host, Stacy, and I'm joined today by Shayna and Laura. During this episode, they are going to talk about some of their favorite debut authors. The show notes with links and the books will be available at claremontlibrary.org. Shayna, would you like to get us started today?
Yes. So the first book that I have picked, it's one of my favorite thrillers. It's a debut by Rose Carlisle. It's called The Girl in the Mirror. And the title, when I first stumbled upon it, actually a coworker told me about it. And the title, it's you don't expect the book. And then once you start reading it, you understand the title. And so it was thrilling. It was crazy. It was just full of twists and turns. So if you enjoy books with mysteries, thrills, and shocking endings, this one's a great choice. So I'm just going to start off with the summary. Twin sisters, Iris and Summer, are identical on the outside, but on the inside, they are night and day. They are mirror twins, which means when Iris looks in the mirror, she doesn't see herself. She sees her twin, Summer, staring back at her. Iris has always been a bit envious of Summer, from her good fortune to her personality, her perfect husband, perfect family, even her name. Summer asks Iris to sail the family yacht for her, since she doesn't know how to sail and Iris is a natural sailor. Iris agrees, and then the worst happens. One morning, Iris wakes up and finds that Summer has vanished. Iris finds herself completely alone in the middle of the Indian Ocean, her sister nowhere to be seen. When Iris finally makes it to land and Summer's husband thinks that she is Summer, Iris goes along with it. Now Iris is living the perfect life she always envied her sister for having, but her glamorous life soon turns into a paranoid nightmare. Very creepy.
That sounds super intriguing.
So the entire time I was reading this book, I just kept thinking, what the heck is going on? Like, from the very first few pages, Iris, she's in Summer's closet and she tries on Summer's lingerie and she looks in the mirror. And of course, they're mirror twins, which is a real thing, by the way. I looked it up. It's a real condition that it's rare, but some twins are mirror twins. So when they see their reflection, they don't see them. They see their twin. When you think you have stuff figured out, you don't. And it's full of twists and turns. So it was creepy and thrilling and odd, but in a good way. I've never read a book where I have disliked every single character until this book, but don't let that deter you. But every person in this book is just horrible, unlikable. As soon as you start to think, oh, well, maybe they have some redeeming qualities. No. They're terrible people. So on the boat, Summer just vanishes. And Iris, she does grieve. She does think, oh my gosh, maybe she got drunk and fell, or maybe she passed out and fell. Maybe it was, you know, she did it on purpose. Maybe she just jumped. So she does grieve for her sister, but then she figures out, well, I'm going to go to jail. And she's always wanted to be Summer. So Summer had this big scar on her thigh. And I mean, a big scar, like I think they describe it, it looks like a hook. So Iris purposely gives herself that scar on her leg. So she decides before she sees Summer's husband, I'm going to be Summer. So it's very creepy. Summer has a stepson. He's like 3 or 4 and he knows the whole book. Like, you're not my mommy. Like, it's very eerie. The family dog barks at her because it knows you're not Summer. So it was just really, really good. So you should definitely read it if you want to not like anybody and be creeped out the whole time.
Sounds really good.
Sounds good. A very atmospheric type of read, like really puts you like in the setting of the book.
And once, like I said, you think you figure it out and then something happens with a character and you're like, oh my gosh, like who would do that to somebody or who thinks that way? And it just gets more and more and more crazy as you go through the book. And then the end, the last chapter, something like traumatic happens. And then the very last few sentences wraps it all up. And I had to stop and I was like, wait a minute. And I had to reread the last chapter because I thought I missed something. That's how twisty this author wrote it. I mean, it's complete shell shocker. My mouth dropped open. Ooh. When I read the ending.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's a good sell of a book. I like
Yeah.
It. Absolutely. I love really that good. Domestic thriller fiction that keeps you guessing, because I read enough mysteries that I'm like, oh, I know who did it. And I love it when they prove me wrong.
Mm-hmm. Right. And especially with this one, because she just, there's no one else on the boat but them. So it's not a who did it. It's more like what happened. And then when Iris pretends to be Summer, it's like maybe she did it, but you kind of, I mean, it's a wild ride.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to lighten things up just a tiny little bit. Although there is still murder because it's a cozy mystery. So it's called Fresh Brewed Murder by Emmeline Duncan. And it's the first book in a new culinary cozy series set in Portland. So, of course, it features coffee culture. So 20-something Sage and her bestie Harley have a new coffee cart. One morning, Sage discovers a murdered customer in front of the cart. And even worse, he was killed with a box cutter from the coffee cart, which makes her the prime suspect. So now she has to unravel all these layers of mysteries involving local property development. There were protesters who were upset about this property being turned into a big, fancy thing. They're saying it doesn't fit the neighborhood. Her estranged mother's shady past misdeeds and her complicated family ties. So lots of layers to this. But it still has that cozy feel where it's kind of comforting and gentle. I mean, other than the original murder that's really in your face. So Emmeline Duncan brought Portland to life for me. I've never been there, but she made it sound absolutely wonderful. And I loved all of the coffee talk, and I never felt like it was an info dump or page filler. I hate when I'm reading a book and it almost feels like the author's like, oh, hey, check this out. I did all this really intense research and now I'm going to share it with you. And I'm like, if I wanted that, I'd be reading nonfiction. Please don't do that. So Sage and Harley felt authentically knowledgeable about coffee roasting. They were talking about the beans, where they were grown, and creating beverages. They even had coffee cocktails, which sounded intriguing.
Ooh.
Yeah. Emmeline Duncan handled there's issues about homelessness, runaway kids, gentrification. I thought she handled all of those in a really sensitive manner, but it never felt like a heavy, oh, this book is about issues. I mean, it really did kind of keep that lighthearted tone. And Sage, the main character, with her humor, her dating angst, her desire to give back to the community, and her conflicted feelings about her own past, very well-developed, believable main character. I wanted to hang out with her while drinking one of her coffee creations. It sounded like a lot of fun. So Fresh Brewed Murder, a fast-paced, quick read with a twisty mystery. Great sense of place and an engaging main character. And I gave it 5 stars on Goodreads. So yay.
Awesome. Yeah. First of all, I would love to have a coffee cart with my best friend. And it sounds like there's a lot to unpack for a cozy mystery, but done in like a fast, lighthearted way, like you were saying. So like kind of more depth than like a normal cozy mystery, which is nice.
Cozies are, I mean, you still have the traditional, right? It's a small town and things happen. But I've also noticed that some of the newer, younger writers are kind of involving more social issues and social awareness into their mm-hmm. cozy mystery. So they still have that, you know, it's an amateur sleuth. There's not a lot of blood, a lot of gore. If there's sex, it takes place off the page. So there's still that gentle read. I know that sounds funny when you're talking about a book that has a killing in it, but that gentle sort of feel to it, but it feels like it's a little bit more current. So definitely enjoyed that.
Like with the title, that it's a cozy read, you know, like I like that because I don't think I've ever read a cozy mystery before. It just has never sounded super appealing, but that the book that you just described definitely does.
And Shayna, for you too, it has a yellow cover. I know how you love Yay. The yellow covers.
Oh yeah. If it's a yellow book, I'm going to read it. Yeah. That's my thing. That sounds really good. And I agree with you, Stacey. I would love to have a coffee cart with my best friend, like even with my husband, like yes, let's make coffee. What did you say? Coffee
cocktails.
Cocktails. I almost said margarita and I'm like, that's not right.
They have the cart, but they also like cater events, so they're like doing these tastings for people. And they have, you know, little samples of these delicious Yum. Coffee creations. And I'm like, I think I would like to taste one of those.
Yeah. It sounds like one of those cozy mysteries where I've read cozy mysteries where it's like a chocolate shop or a truffle shop or cupcakes, or I read a cozy mystery series where it was Mexican food. And like the way those authors write their books, you can almost taste and smell the food and the desserts, and they're just so much fun.
Yes, absolutely. That would be really fun for a book club too, to get together at someone's house and make some recipes from the book, some samples.
So, oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think so.
Well, let's do it. And then our next podcast can be updates on, yeah.
This is what we made.
We'll have pictures.
That would be fun. All right. I will go next with my next pick. Laura read this one. It's The Lost Apothecary by Sarah Penner. Yes. A gorgeous, gorgeous cover. A great debut. I really enjoyed the book. I mean, it has a dark atmosphere. She definitely does a great job setting the scene for readers, but there's mystery, there's, you know, a little bit of romance, a little, and it also just has a bunch of historical components, which I love. So I'll just read the summary. One cold February evening in 1791, at the back of a dark London alley in a hidden apothecary shop, Nella awaits her newest customer. Her mother's apothecary shop used to be a respectable place for healing those in need. Now, Nella uses her knowledge of herbs, insects, plants, flowers, and such for a much darker purpose. She sells well-disguised poisons to desperate women who want to be rid of the terrible men in their lives. Husbands, brothers, uncles, friends. Nella only follows two rules now. Rule number one, the poison must never be used to harm another woman. And rule number two, the names of the murderer and her victim must be recorded. Eliza Fanning is just 12 years old, and her mistress has devised a plan with the child to poison and murder her husband. When Eliza shows up at Nella's hidden apothecary asking for the poison, Nella begins to truly question her humanity. An unexpected friendship is formed, and a string of events is set in motion that jeopardizes Nella's whole world. In present-day London, Caroline spends her 10th wedding anniversary all alone. She recently discovered her husband's infidelity and is trying to cope. She discovers an old abandoned apothecary near the river, and as she investigates, she realizes she has found the link to the unsolved apothecary murders from 1791. Centuries apart, the lives of these three women intersect in unimaginable ways. That was a lot.
It's hard when it's very deep, when the book is very, like, detailed.
Yeah, like I said, it's back and forth between present-day London and then London in 1791. And Nella is an apothecary, which during that time, they created medicines for people. But instead, she does poison for men. And so when Eliza shows up, who's a child, you know, Nella really then starts to say, I'm a terrible human being. What am I doing? You know? And so things just start to happen. A series of events happens and they're basically fighting for their lives. And so then Caroline in present day London, her husband has been cheating on her and they had this big trip planned for London for their anniversary. And she's like, bye, I'm going alone. So she is a history major and she goes mudlarking, which mudlarking, it's a real thing where people go and they dig in the mud in the river, especially in London. It's a big deal, mudlarking. And there's groups and clubs and they find artifacts that could be centuries old. So she finds a little vial and that's how she starts to get on her quest for this apothecary. Her husband ends up showing up and he's like, I want to fix this. And he ends up getting sick and the police, they have to take him to the hospital and the police think that she poisoned him because they find her notes on this apothecary and poison and how to poison people. So it's a whole whirlwind. I really, really liked the book and I really like that it blends well between the characters because you have Nella who's an adult woman and she's not a real exciting character. She's kind of like Debbie Downer in the dumps all the time because she just feels bad, her self-conscious. And then you have Eliza, the child who's very mature for her age and is doing stuff she probably shouldn't be. And you have Caroline who's going through something. So all three women, just the way the author intersects their lives, it just came together perfectly. I really hope she writes more books because I really enjoyed this one. Yes. I really liked it. And at the end of the book, it talks about mudlarking a little bit more. So it's very historical. And the story was just so interesting.
That's another book where you can tell she did a lot of research, but I never felt like she was just going, admire my research. Look at all the hard work I did.
I felt
she
like integrated that too. It
really well into the story. And talk about the luck of the draw for a book cover. That is one of the most gorgeous book covers.
Yeah, beautiful.
I love it. I think actually, Laura, I think you brought it to my attention, the book, because of the cover. Like, I don't even think we saw the summary. You just said, look at this book. It's gorgeous. And then I think me, you, Jordan, we all added it to our list. A couple people here at New Richmond have read it because of the cover, coworkers. So it's a good one.
And you were talking about Larkin, and one of my coworkers, the adult selector for all of our materials here at the library, Jean, she attended a panel with the author, like virtually at a book show or, you know, something for publicity for the book. And the author actually went to London and mudlarked. I don't know if that's the right term, but did the act of mudlarking. So that she could talk about it like genuinely in her book. So yeah, she really did do her research.
That's cool. I read at the end of the book, you know how some authors will add an author's note. Mm-hmm. And she mentions that that's what inspired this book is someone else found a vial, like the group when they were mudlarking. And I think that inspired the story for her. And so she does talk about it. It's really interesting. Wow.
That's awesome. I haven't read this one yet, but it is on my to read list. And I think it's going to be my next audiobook because it sounds like it has very like lush descriptions. And I feel like it would be a really good one to listen to.
I do. I think it would be really good. So my next book is another cozy mystery about food. It's called Arsenic and Adobo by Mia P. Manansala. So it is a fast-paced mystery that's going to make you laugh, cringe, and salivate simultaneously. Lila's returned home to help with her family's failing Filipino restaurant. And unfortunately, Shady Palms is a small town and she can't escape her restaurant reviewing ex who seems to have it out for the family's restaurant. If that's not stressful enough, the restaurant's landlord who wants the restaurant off his property is her ex's new stepdad. So double yikes. He and her ex come to eat lunch at the restaurant. Obviously, her ire is up and she makes no bones about being angry with him constantly criticizing the restaurant in his reviews. Lots of negative, terrible, bad Yelp reviews. And she really feels like it's having an impact on the family's business. So when he ends up face down in his dessert, dead from poisoning, Leela's obviously the prime suspect. So this was a super fun book to read. Leela is likable, relatable. She's trying to figure out what she wants, balancing out her needs with the pressure to meet her family's expectations. I love her interactions with her extended Filipino family. She talks about having grudges with some of her cousins that go back to when they were in grade school. And yet when chips are down, she knows that she can count on them to help her out with her investigation. And her grandmother is simultaneously terrifying and hysterical. She makes like these very short but kind of grim pronouncements and everybody sort of scurries around to keep grandma happy. And when she's not bossing them around the restaurant or at home, she's off gambling with her friends. She's super funny. There is a large cast, all of these family members plus her friends. And I love that the author had diversity on display, ethnicity, religion, sexuality, even people's eating habits. You have everybody from super carnivores to absolute total vegans. So it was kind of nice that there was just this broad display and yet everybody was getting along and liking each other except for those childhood grudges. Everybody had their own voice, which was also nice. It wasn't just like, oh, this person is only identifiable because of their quirk. I felt like she really fleshed them out. And the food descriptions were absolutely amazing. And there's even coffee. Leela's best friend works at a coffee shop and she's constantly making up these concoctions for Leela to try. So most of them sounded really good. And if you're on Instagram, take a look at Mia Manansala's account. She posts pictures of some of the recipes as she was working on them for the book. And I'd never heard of it before this, but apparently there's a Filipino type of purple yam called an ube. And she made these crinkle cookies, you know, like you see them at the holidays, right? The chocolate crinkles, except she made them with ube and they're this beautiful violet color. I really want to taste that. She included recipes, and I'm going to have to try some of these. The adobo chicken sounded just amazing.
It's so, like almost lunchtime. You're making
So it was really great mystery, lots of layers, interlocking pieces, several suspects with believable motives, and plus there's a hint at a love triangle, so I hope in upcoming books she's going to flesh that out a little bit.
Oh, I love when authors do that.
Love it.
To me, it sounds like My Big Fat Greek Wedding, but with the Filipino family and murder instead.
Right.
But with all the characters and like everybody has like a big personality and stuff, like that just sounds, it sounds like a fun read.
I liked it.
Yeah, that one sounds good. My aunt is actually Filipino. She's from the Philippines. Ooh. Yeah, her and my uncle, they met when he was in the Navy. And so sometimes at like cookouts, family get-togethers, she will bring Filipino dishes. So I'll have to ask her about that. So my last pick is called Starfish by Lisa Phipps. This one is absolutely adorable. I loved every chapter. I loved this book. It's uplifting. It's empowering. It was kind of gut-wrenching, just all wrapped into one. It is a juvenile, so it's written for kids, but as an adult myself, it was very, very good. It's not very long. I think it was less than 300 pages, and it's written in the style of free verse poetry. So each chapter is like a poem, and they're very short chapters, but it's easy to follow. I've read books before where it's written in free verse poetry and it's a little hard to follow because it jumps throughout the person's life. This one was not like that. It was very straightforward, easy to read, very quick. I think it took me like an hour and a half, if that, to finish it one morning. So I'll read the summary. Ellie remembers the day clearly. It was her fifth birthday party and she had worn a whale swimming suit. She jumped into the pool, made a big splash, and that is when the fat shaming started. Splash actually became a cruel nickname for her. Now, Ellie is a preteen and she is sick of being fat shamed, so she decides to do something about it. To cope with the bullying, Ellie has created what she calls fat girl rules, and she tries to live by them. No making waves while swimming, avoid eating in public, don't move so fast your body jiggles. Her safe space is the swimming pool, where she can float and feel weightless in a fat-obsessed world, where she can stretch herself out, take up all the room she wants, just like a starfish. In the pool, she can escape her cruel siblings and her pushy mom, who thinks that criticizing her weight will somehow motivate her to diet. Ellie has allies in her dad, her therapist, and her new best friend, Catalina. They all love Ellie for who she is. With their support, Ellie might finally be able to get rid of her fat girl rules and starfish in real sad.
Sounds amazing.
It was really good. I mean, it definitely shows the worst in people, but it also shows the very best in people. And I loved how the author just really highlighted a child navigating their thoughts and their emotions and dealing with their self-worth. Because I think the world is harsh when it comes to our looks, whether it's if you wear glasses, your hair color, how you're dressed, your skin color, and especially if you're overweight. We do live in a fat-obsessed world. And for a child to experience that and process it, it was just heartbreaking, but it was beautiful at the same time. Because as you read the book, Ellie, she goes to therapy the whole time and she really starts to, like, she does the work that her therapist tells her to do. And she, you know, for example, the therapist tells her to stand up for herself, but don't become a bully at school. Because there's a way to tell someone, hey, that's not okay, without bullying them in return. And so as a child, she figures that out. And so that was really awesome to see. And I just really loved Ellie's spirit. She does get lost sometimes in like a negative swirl of thinking where she's just like, I'm fat and no one cares about me, especially my mom. Why doesn't my mom love me? I will say, because this was a juvenile, I think if it was written for adults, I think the author might have maybe had some chapters for the mom. That mom needs therapy herself because she is just very, very cruel to Ellie. It's almost like she's embarrassed that her daughter is overweight. She'll print out diets or magazine articles and she'll tape them to the kitchen cabinets and Ellie just rips them down and crumples them up. But who does that to their kid, you know? So thankfully, Ellie has her dad who supports her and loves her. And he's actually the one that has her start going to therapy because he tells his wife, he's like, look, she's being bullied in school. Her spirit's breaking. So that was really good. So a really, really cute book. I loved it. I loved every page. And actually, I have it here. Very cute. There's Ellie. So I love the cover.
Yes, I read this one too. And you said it so well. Couldn't say it any better. 5 stars all the way. I'm going to call it. It's going to be a Newbery contender. It's going to be the winner or an honor.
Yes.
Call it right now. It was written so well. The author, I think she's either a teacher or a librarian. She just, you can just tell like she knows how to write from like a voice of a preteen. It felt so realistic. Like Shana was saying, the mom is definitely a villain, but it was not, it really wasn't censored. Like, you know, there's nothing objectionable language or anything in it, but you could just tell like, this is probably what a lot of children experience in their home lives. And it was so heartbreaking, but it was wonderful to see Ellie's support system, her dad, her friend, the new neighbors next door. I loved that family. They were so sweet.
I like didn't even like Ellie goes out with them to a restaurant and normally with her siblings, you know, they'll say comments like we have to sit, like get 2 tables sometimes because of you, or we're not allowed to get dessert because mom doesn't want you to get dessert. So the rest of us can't get dessert. Like they say really mean things to her. And when Ellie goes out with her friend's family, because her friend Catalina, she's got some brothers, they don't even notice how she looks or her weight. So it uplifts her because I think when you're a kid too, when all you know is your home and your family, you think that every family's like that. And that's just not the case.
Right. And I think it's important to note that her siblings are both older than she is. They're in high school.
Right. So they you would think they know would care. Better, yeah. Think?
But I think it really shows that like kids can make, no matter how young you are, you can make a positive change. You can be a positive role model. You don't have to wait to grow up to do
right.
that. So it was so beautiful. I love that thing.
I loved it. I don't read a whole lot of juvenile, but this one, I snatched it up as soon as I read the summary and I got it on hold when it came in and it was, I loved it. It was lovely.
For my last one, this is a rom-com, but also there's a dead body because I guess that was my theme this time. Not just debut authors, but dead bodies. So it's called Dial A for Aunties by Jessie Tonto. And I have to say, she has pulled off one madcap rom-com caper. It's a darkly humorous debut. I read someone describe it as Crazy Rich Asians crossed with Weekend at Bernie's, and that seems like a pretty apt description. So Medi's meddling Indo-Chinese mom reaches new heights of meddling when she creates a profile on a dating site using Medi's name and photo, and then she continues to pose as Medi chatting up a guy who seems nice, and she agrees to meet him, but as Medi. So because Medi is a dutiful daughter, she goes along with this craziness. The date doesn't go exactly as planned because Medi accidentally kills him. So oops, now what do you do? Instead of just like not, she puts his body in her trunk and then she calls her mom and her aunts to figure out what to do. And it's this whole crazy caper where her family has a wedding planning business. So one of the aunties does the catering and they decide they will put the body in a big freezer and then they will deal with it after the weekend because they have this big, lavish Indo-Chinese wedding that they need to do. Except the people who load their stuff up in the morning load up the freezer too. So it's an entire weekend of them at this island resort trying to hide the freezer, make sure that nobody touches the freezer. Oh my gosh, there's a body in the freezer. We can't let anyone discover this. And because it's a rom-com, there has to be the romance. So when Mehdi gets to the resort, the person running it all is her ex-boyfriend from college. And she had to break up with him because her family wanted her to come home. She's a photographer and they wanted her to be part of the family business. And he had said, oh, let's start living together and I'll get a job and you can work on your photography. And it didn't happen. She chose her family and she went home, but now he's there. You have this whole weekend of all of these capers about who has the body? Where's the body? What have we done with the body? It was fast-paced, darkly humorous, sweet romantic moments, crazy when there's a body. But there were some moments where the crazy aunties did things and I was like, what did I just read? I must read this again. Surely that's not what they did. Yes, that is. There's even a delightful conversation with Mehdi explaining to them why you do not use the eggplant emoji when you're talking to strange men.
I was like, that sounds so funny.
Right? Because you think, oh, it's a romance with a corpse. That will not be funny. That will go terribly wrong. And yet it was super, super funny. And there are some descriptions. Her mom and the aunties and Mehdi get together for dim sum every week. So again, with the delicious food descriptions. So you've got a sweet little romance, dead body, kind of a caper feel to it. I saw that Netflix has actually picked it up. So yes. I'm hoping that they do it justice because I think it would be a super, super fun adaptation.
I was just about to say, the whole time you were explaining that, I was getting, if you've ever watched Good Girls on Netflix, I was getting Good Girls vibes because a body ends up in a freezer, basically, in a deep freezer in someone's home. And
right?
Oh my gosh.
I know.
I don't know how I feel right now. I'm like, do I want to read that? I don't know.
Well, there isn't anything. I mean, there's no gross, gory stuff. You know,
well, just the fact that they sound crazy. Let's just stick them in the freezer. Meh.
Shayna, it also has a yellow cover. So,
oh my gosh, I have to.
Tips it over into
it's
the
reading. It's my role.
But it really, I mean, it stays pretty, for all that there's a corpse involved, it really does stay pretty lighthearted. I mean, you get Mehdi, there's also the storyline of she's trying to balance her loyalty to her family and keeping the business afloat because that's what employs them all. And her own dreams of being a photographer, you know, which she does not want to take wedding photos of people. She wants to, you know, be more arty with it. So it was a lot of fun.
So many questions, but I
do too.
The biggest question is like, how do you accidentally kill somebody on a date?
Well,
I do want to read this. So if it's gonna ruin it, don't tell me.
Yeah, don't give it away.
It happens very early on, and I will just say she didn't mean to kill him. It was an accident. He was kind of handsy.
Okay.
And
that's
so
giving me practical magic vibes then. I like that.
So it's not the same, but it kind of reminds me of Act Your Age, Eve Brown by Talia Hibbert that just released. And she runs over the guy who the love interest. They're not on a date, but she just like backs into him and runs over him. And he like, you know, he's like, what the heck? Like, what's wrong with you, woman? So accident.
Well, this one, the guy is really a jerk. So, I mean, not that that's grounds for killing people, but I'm saying it's not like he's a nice character and you're like, aw, you know, it's more like Cell Block Tango, right? From Chicago, He Had It Coming.
I was going to say, He Had It Coming. Yeah. Oh, that sounds like a wild ride.
It was very funny. Like I said, some super sweet, tender moments when she and her ex are kind of reconnecting, but every time she's sort of reconnecting with him, there's the body, and the body does not stay in the freezer because they need the freezer. So at one point, it very much is Weekend at Bernie's, where they're kind of posing the corpse, which leads to a misunderstanding with the boyfriend.
Yeah.
Because the corpse is in Mehdi's room at the hotel in her bed.
Oh boy.
And the ex stops by to see her, and he can see what he thinks is a man. Well, it is a man, just supposed to be a dead man, but he thinks it's a guy asleep in Betty's bed. You can see the feet with the socks sticking out from underneath the duvet.
Nice.
Oh, gosh, and if he took the sock off, his feet would probably be like blue and purple because they've been in the freezer and he's dead.
Super adorable. So I can't wait to see what they do with it on Netflix. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to it.
That sounds fun.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, I think we have a lot of books that we all have added to our to-be-read list, and hopefully our listeners and viewers have as well. So thank you both so much for joining us today and sharing your titles. Viewers, please subscribe to the Claremont Library YouTube channel, and listeners, you can subscribe to the Book Lovers Podcast wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode. Thanks for joining us.